Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey everybody, welcome to 2021. Wow. Well, here we are in a brand new year. And today's message, I am so excited to be bringing it to you at Avalon, at Manly, Mossman, Oxford Falls. Welcome to Parramatta, Roselle, Silverwater, Wirunga, and of course, all of our Zoomers. Great to have you in the room on Zoom. And wonderful that our restrictions are being eased around the country so that we can invite friends, book them in, bring them to church, and under the COVID safety rules and regulations, we'll be able to have church, worship together, hear the word, fellowship, and march into 2021 stronger than ever before. I'm believing it in Jesus' name. Now, today's message, as we start on the I Have Decided campaign for this month, we are focusing in on how it begins with an encounter. This is really, really important. I want to read a passage to you out of Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. And the NIV says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal." This is Paul, the apostle, speaking. "But I press on." Remember the Bobby Dylan song, "Pressing On." Very, very good concept. It's because sometimes it's not just a walk. It's like we've got to press on a little. "I'm pressing on to take a hold of that for which Jesus Christ took a hold of me." I'm pressing on to get a hold of what Jesus got a hold of me for. So he said, he got a hold of me and gave me a purpose, and now I'm pressing on to make that purpose come to pass. Because it isn't just going to fall out of the sky. It isn't just going to happen all on its own. It happens because I'm pressing on to implement what God has got a hold of me for. So he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." I don't think any of us in the room could say, "Yep, down here at Avalon, we've got it all." Or there at Oxford Falls, "Yep, we've already possessed." No, nobody would presume to say, "Yep, I've arrived, I've got it. Don't need anything more." He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." If I can forget 2020. But you know, we learned a lot of good things as well. I think there was a lot of silver linings in last year. And I'm taking them into 2021, that's for sure. We've all become a whole lot better at being online people. And we've mastered so many areas that we were just amateurs in last year because we were forced into this area. But I think one of the greatest things is what we're talking about today, because suddenly we've got to make sure that we are following Jesus, not just because of external stimuli, just because pastors are around us or other believers around us. Some of us have been locked down all alone, and we've had to discover how deep our commitment to being a disciple is, to following Jesus, so that our Christian lives don't collapse and fall apart. So Paul says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Well, that's what discipleship is. It's one element of it, making a ruthless commitment to be a follower of Jesus. I wrote this book, Parable of the Dog, a few years ago, about our little dog, Piper, and how we were training him. Oh, it's such a moment. We had this woman, I think her name was Tanya, came around to do the training. And one of the terrible things about our dog was that he would bark incessantly when the food was being prepared. So you're preparing the food and you're a nervous wreck because this dog goes just like that continually. And you're trying to get the food and you're getting it down. And the trainer came and said, "What's going on here? This is, she said, "Feed him and let's watch what happened." So she said, "Oh, this is terrible. We're going to fix this today." I thought, wow, just like that. And yep. So she put a leash on him. We prepared the food, put it down. And he's going, "Arr, arr, arr, she puts the food down, and he is like this far away from the food, just a few inches away. He can smell it, he can see it, but he is wanting to go for it, and she's just holding him there, and he is making such a noise. I'm thinking the neighbors are going to think we're murdering our dog. It's going, ar, 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 ar. It's just screaming with its bark towards his plate. And then eventually, after maybe, it must have been 3 minutes. It was, I was feeling sorry for the dog. But eventually he gets tired, too tired to keep barking, and he just calms down. And so then, once he's calmed down, she lets the leash off a little, and he goes for the food, but he's gobbling. And she says, oh, we can't have him gobbling. I thought, I'm just happy that he got quiet. But she says, no, we'll pull him back. And so he starts barking again. This time he will not stop. It's for another minute until he finally calms down. She wants calm and quiet. That's what she said. Once he's calm and quiet, we'll let him go. Lets him go again. He gobbles, pulls him back. Ow, 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 ow. All of this. And then finally, he gets the idea. So he goes over quietly and starts to eat the food. And he's eating it nicely. And that's it. And I thought, my Lord, there are so many parents who would pay you $1,000 just to train their kids or whatever. Girl, this is incredible. It was like a miracle happened. Now, that little point of training traveled into so many other areas of our dog's life. And I was so impressed by it. I wrote a whole book called Parable of the Dog, simply because I saw that how obedience was taught to this little animal, and finally he got to learn something that helped him in every other area of his life. It's a worthwhile book. Get a hold of it. It's talking about us moving beyond having Jesus just as our Savior, so that we move beyond the cross, and not that we're ever going to move away from it, but we keep on walking so that we discover Jesus as Lord, so that we now are modifying our lifestyle to fit in with Him ruling over us. He's not just saving us and we stay the ruler. We're still calling all the shots as to how we're going to live our life, how we're going to spend our money, how we're going to spend our time, what we're going to do with our purpose in life. We now commit all of that to Him and make Him the Lord. We call Jesus Lord, not just Savior. And so that becomes important. Remember that old song, I have decided. Yeah, I won't terrify everybody with my singing skills. However, I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And then I had a couple other lines. The world behind me, the cross before me. Yeah, and that was another one. And though none go with me, still I will follow. I'm not sure how this is going on Zoom, people, but bear with me. I'm not. That's it. The pain is over. And now we're saying, like, the world is behind me, the cross before, though none go with me, still I will follow. This is discipleship. I have decided to follow Jesus. I sometimes wonder where people are. I like you. You think, wow, where did they go? What's happened to that person? You know, oh, that was such a sad moment where not everybody keeps following. And some of your friends might not be following anymore. The people who even led you to Jesus, maybe the pastor, maybe the minister, maybe there was some scandals in your church or whatever. In those moments, honestly, we got to be immovable. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. There will be moments in our lives that are heartbreaking, that are very offending, where we feel betrayed even. But no matter what, underneath all of whatever we're doing for Jesus, we need to be a disciple. Whether we're going to be a minister, whether we're going to be a lawyer, whether we're going to be a dentist, whether we're going to be a car mechanic or a builder, whatever it is underneath, if I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm just going to follow Him because He's caught my heart, He caught my life, and I have chosen this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, God can build on that person. Sometimes we wonder, why isn't God using super talented people to build the church on? Because sometimes talented people see no need to develop character. And because the talent is causing them to skate through. But in the end, character brings down a life if it hasn't been developed, the lack of character. And it's so important that we build character through a discipled life of following Jesus. And this year, I'm writing a book called Disciple. And I'm concentrating on the three chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about all the qualities of what being a disciple in the kingdom of God is all about. It's not about being a Christian in a church. It's about being a disciple in a kingdom. Because sometimes our idea of being a Christian is more like being a churchian. And we've got churchianity. Because we think, if I can just bring somebody along to church, being in church doesn't save us. Being a skateboard in a garage doesn't turn us into a car. And it's an experience of being born again that transforms our lives into following Jesus. So let me say this. This is really important because discipleship begins with an experience. And today, at the end of this message, in about 10, 12 minutes, I'm going to be inviting you to take a stand on an altar call, one, to commit ourselves to Christ for the coming year, but two, to also let our lives be filled up with oil. The Christian life isn't just a set of principles and rules to live by. That's Old Testament thinking, and that's they burned out all the time. They just fell short of everything God had for them. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about five wise virgins and five foolish people. And the foolish ones never took the time to fill their lamp with oil. So the others, they burned for a little while, but eventually they burned out because their wick started to burn. Now, the wick in a lamp is never meant to burn. The oil in the wick in the lamp is meant to burn, but it won't burn if there's no oil. And you pick up the oil in the presence of God. It takes time. There's no liquidation sale, shortcuts, final offer, oil. You pay the price. And the full price is prayer and waiting in the presence of the Lord. And in a fast-paced, busy world with drowning in entertainment, we're entertained to death with all the kinds of things. Some people feel like they haven't got the time. You got to make the time. If we don't have the time, we just pay that price for the oil. And the wise virgins who had extra oil, they said, go to the city and buy it. We can't pay the price for you. Other people can't pay that price for you. All of us need to just go and spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And you know that God puts experience first and then the doctrine, then the teaching. And in the book of Acts, when the Spirit falls on the apostles, after 10 days, they paid that price. It falls on the 120 up there, and they start preaching. And people start saying, oh, this is just crazy stuff. These people are drunk. Peter said, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, this is that. And that is the principle of Scripture, to verify an experience with the Word of God. Now, many times in sincere thinking, we can arrive at a conclusion that goes like, if we teach about it, then people will experience it. That doesn't always happen, and it's not really the biblical way. Paul has an experience where, and it's a divine experience, it's a sovereign experience, where God meets with him with a blast of light out of the heavens, a voice, and he falls off his donkey, falls to the ground. It's an experience he has, and then he unravels it in the aftermath. All through Scripture, you will find people having this experience. But do not think that this is only reserved for sovereign moments, divinely arranged moments on God's calendar when he's going to come and do this. You and I can actually invoke the presence of God on our lives. We can trigger and activate moments where that oil, that empowering, that experience with God to help us become a disciple. Now, those experiences need to morph into lifestyle. We need to take an experience and actually make it become the lifestyle that we're going to live. So when you find Habakkuk, it's in Habakkuk 2:1, it says, I will position myself. I'm going to stand in the watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will say to me. He knew that God would speak to him. He just had to get himself in a place and wait, keep tuning the radio signal, speaking in tongues, praying, worshiping, giving thanks to God. All of that conditions our spirit so that we can receive and hear from God. So that it's like in a photo when you get depth of field. You can focus on what's right in front of you and all the background goes blurry. And for most of us, what's in focus is our natural world. The bills that need to be paid, the kids that need to be looked after, the house that needs painting, all the job, the boss, all these things are front and center in our thinking, and the blurry background of God is just sort of a bit vague and fuzzy about it. But what waiting on God does, what fasting and praying does, which we're taking a day to fast and pray, and some of you might want to take more, three. I know I'm definitely going to be fasting for a longer period of time over the month of February to adjust that focus and get the God zone in focus and let the rest of the world just get a little fuzzy and vague and not in the front and center of my conscious mind so that I can start to go into that zone where I know I'm getting the signals that God wants me to hear. And that helps immensely. Now, Habakkuk did that. All of the prophets did that. Isaiah 6, he says, then I heard the Lord, because he was in the presence of God. And he heard God say, who will go and who will we send and who will go for us? It's like it wasn't even to Isaiah. God was just talking with himself to the angels. Who can we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah is overhearing this conversation. He says, hey, I'm here. Send me. And so they looked around and said, "Pooh, why not? Isaiah, can you go and take this message to the people of God?" And so he was available and he was in the presence of God. He got that access. And that's the way it unfolded for him. It is incredible when you have those moments with God. I think sometimes our preaching talks too much about things rather than bringing the experience that we're talking about. We've preached about healing. We need to pray for the sick, for them to be healed. Happily, we do in this church. Entire service is devoted to that. We talk about the power of God. We must have times where the power of God does come upon people's lives, so we're not just dancing around the subject. We're actually getting baptized in the subject and experiencing the power of God. My early Christian days, I had three very powerful moments, experiences. One was in a church when I got born again. I got saved. On that same night, I got set free from dark forces, from demonic power of fear and other things, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit all in the same night, overwhelmed. I just was walked out of that little church speaking in a heavenly language, and I was high. I mean, I didn't understand a thing that had happened. If you ask me what God's got to do with the Bible, I wouldn't have known. I thought it was Jewish history. I didn't know that God and Jesus were relatives. I just had no idea. I was a completely uneducated, and yet here I was, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by God. I didn't know the Bible. I had Hezekiah walking on the water in the book of Abraham. I mean, I thought John the Baptist was a Baptist. I thought that's where the Baptist must have started. I mean, it's like I had no knowledge. And so all I'm saying to you is that do not think you've got to wait until you've graduated certain courses before you qualify for an experience with God. He can come to you in your most raw state and reveal himself to you. It's not like you've got to go through seven levels and graduate Bible college and do all this before you're going to have an experience. God wants to meet with you today. God wants to put oil in your lamp today. He wants to put power in your life today. Just a few weeks before Peter was baptized in the Spirit and preaching, being the leader of the church and winning thousands, literally thousands of people to Jesus. Just 6 weeks before, he was backslidden. He was cursing God, denying Jesus with oaths and curses. He was brokenhearted after that, after denying Jesus. Listen, you do not have to wait 10 years. You might have just come back to the Lord. You might have just gone. Now is the time for that power to come upon you. The second experience I had was I was in a very small connect group meeting. Connect groups can be very powerful. And we were praying, and suddenly the Spirit of God came on me, and it was like a plug got unplugged deep in my spirit, and a fountain blew up, and my mind was flooded with images and visions and prophecy. That was the gift of prophecy coming into my life. And ever since then, there are moments where I see things and I can find myself prophesying, and they come to pass. And I was speaking out loud. I didn't even know what I was saying in that meeting, because that was the first experience of operating a gift of the Spirit, like prophecy. The third experience, I was sitting in a little Fiat Bambina car, which was part of my job, which was delivering photos to be developed and bringing back the prints for people from chemist shops around Christchurch in New Zealand. And the boss was, he was cheap on his transport, so I had this little Fiat Bambina, which was like a pregnant skateboard, basically. It was just tiny. But I was sitting in this, and I just finished my work, my shift, and I'm just wanting to sort of read the Bible. I've only been saved maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm reading through the scripture, and I feel the rain of heaven coming on me. I feel this rain, like silver rain, pouring into the car. And the scripture opened at Proverbs 4 verse 20. It says, attend unto my words, give attention to my words, and incline your heart to my sayings. Keep them in your heart with all diligence. And the love for the word, the love for scripture, and being a preacher was born in my heart then. And the very first two words of that little passage say, my son. And it broke my heart when I read that, because I realized that God was my father. And I realized that I had been born of God, and I was now his child, for goodness sake. And he was talking to me as a father. He was talking to me out of that experience. So I needed to take that experience and make it a lifestyle. Every day of my life, I'm in scripture. I'm in the Word of God, and I'm meditating in it to get it from my head into my heart. Just like that original word from God nearly 50 years ago was to my life. Whatever experience we had needs to become a lifestyle. That's what discipleship is, that I meet Jesus, I got to keep that experience alive by keeping myself on the pathway where I keep encountering him every day of my life and of your life.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.